Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The 2019 GameStitch Wellness Awards will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 362 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Hello again.
My pacing was a little off right there.
It was a little different. I think because you got rushed into it because of the Lego minifigs.
Yeah, which I'll just let you figure out what that means.
It's fine.
I'll let everybody figure out what that means.
That works out just fine.
The intro is best served without thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that one all the way through.
Gotcha.
Because I thought there was like, after we finished the conversation, I was like, I still have a few seconds. And I was like, I have no seconds. Like, we stopped at, like, when I needed to start.
We got to go now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And because of that, I was thinking of all the, I was like, what's the number? What do I usually say? Who am I? Who are you? You know?
I understand. I sometimes do lose track of who I am. I get it.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there. It's easy to forget which one you are.
Right. I understand. Because we're not close, listeners, in case you didn't know.
I mean, I forget me. It's obviously I'd forget you if I forget me.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. I'm not playing favorites.
I don't know. You might be. You might like me better than you. You might have a deep-seated hatred for yourself that comes from some past trauma. I don't know.
Maybe it comes from a very real place, you know?
It could.
This is taking a turn right off the bat. I'll tell you who we didn't forget about. Producer Gerald in the house.
Woohoo!
On the wheels of steels at the fives and tens or whatever people say.
I don't know that that's it, but it is now, damn it.
We're in the throes of the holiday season.
We are, yes.
Christmas is less than a week away at this point.
Yeah, like 3-4 days.
Yeah.
2-3 days, something like that.
Yeah, jolly Saint Nick right around the corner. He'd be shimmying down
the chimneys,
fire escapes or whatever, chimneys if you have them.
Chimneys, not fire escapes.
Well, not everybody has one.
That's true. If you don't have a chimney, I guess.
Fire escape, back door.
Or maybe he just touches his nose and twinkles in because he's just a jolly old elf.
Santa likes to come through the back door the way I understand it. I think you'll see him there.
Just ask Miss Claus, she'll tell you.
Whoa.
Oof, what'd I do there? Wow.
I was going to say just ask Rudolph. That's what I was going to say.
I think mine's
reindeer Santa sex joke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yours is on the nose.
I don't think they have as much play. I don't think those Santa reindeer sex jokes have as much play as the Mr. and Mrs. Claus sex jokes.
Really?
Do.
Spend some time on Pornhub.
Yeah, no, I don't.
There's probably all kinds of reindeer stuff on there.
There's probably more Santa and Mrs. Claus stuff on there.
Where do you land on like the naughty Santa stuff? You always see the dudes with like the Santa boxers and the girls with the Santa lingerie.
Oh yeah, I'm a big no on all of it.
That's not really the role play that you're
into.
No. I always see it and I'm like, yeah. Is there people out there with just the Santa fetish?
Or is it like
your gift? Like, what's the message? Look at all these.
I see them. Yeah, they don't do anything for me. I'm not.
And Gerald's got the lady ones pulled up, but there's a dude one right there too.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of dude ones, is what I was gonna say. That guy, yeah. He's really rolling the dice with it. Everything stays put.
Oof.
It takes a certain build for that. You have to be built like a fireman.
I would say so. Yes, like a calendar fireman, not like your volunteer
like
fireman down the street.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like some of those aren't bad, but would they be just as well to not be Santa themed?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And a lot of those would probably actually work better without the hat. It's usually the hat that makes it, I think.
That's the elf one. The hat throws you off.
Yes. I'm not big into hats during my good times anyway. So
you don't like a ball cap while you're...
No hats.
I don't know. I always think it's weird. I think it's weird that that's a thing. I'm not judging because I know everybody's got a thing. I think it's weird that that is a thing, though.
Oh, no. I understand that.
I understand lingerie and I understand fancy banana hammocks for dudes. Like, I understand all of that.
Do they need to be themed around a holiday, though?
Do you wear, like, spooky lingerie during Halloween and spooky banana hammocks?
Like Elvira lingerie? I might be able to get behind.
That's for sure a thing.
Is it like corsets and stuff? Yeah, I could do that.
I think that's just like goth.
Yep.
I think is what you're talking
about. Which I can get into. I can get into the goth stuff.
You're like, I hear you. Look at that goth dude. He's got like a stick or a whip or whatever that is.
I don't think that's goth. I think that's something else.
He's wearing an armband.
Don't think that's goth. I think we call that something else.
Yeah. Look at that genie in the lamp. That's a pretty good costume.
That is a good costume.
The green at the bottom there, Gerald.
Who's that psycho above him?
I don't know. He's got a staff. Bow staff.
Right. Like a bow staff.
Oh, that genie one says rub me on it. So I don't know if that's... You can't wear that to a family party anymore.
Well, you could.
No, because that's kid level and you don't want kids being like, I love Aladdin. Let me rub your lamp.
Well, I get that.
And your next thing you know, I guess if there's kids there. On.
Oh, no. Right. He's just on a stripper pole. That's not a bow staff. That's a stripper pole.
I prefer that be a bow staff. That's a fat ass bow staff if it is. That's like a half inch pipe that he has there.
Interesting.
What did you search for? Halloween costumes. Search for Halloween lingerie. Yeah, see that. I think those are still costumes.
Type in gothic. Sexy and see what comes up.
Now you're just looking for stuff for you. This isn't even about what we were talking about now. Send me that link over in the email too. It stopped even being about what we were talking about.
Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah. Send me the thing I'm super into and we'll go from there. There's a witch. What about sexy witches?
No. Hats. No hats.
Oh yeah, I forgot. You got an anti-hat policy.
I do have a no hats policy in my bedroom.
Can't wear a fedora one in there.
Nope. And that's just one of the hats you can't wear in there.
Right. No, I get it.
There are a number of hats you can't wear in there.
What's this search here? Is this still Halloween?
Huh.
Sexy Halloween gothic is what he's got in. What's a gothic dude look like? Type in gothic guy. Is that just like eyeshadow and spiky hair?
It's like the Crow. I think there's different levels, actually. There's like a
gothic guy and they're all
like,
women?
Well, there's like a subset of goth that's cyberpunk.
Yeah.
There's the emo goth. There you go.
There's like the really pale face and the long hair dudes.
Yep. There's like the vampire goths. There's like swamp goths.
What's a swamp goth?
A swamped goth is kind of like like Nick Cave. It's almost rockabilly, only with a lot of black.
Swamp goth has just pulled up swamp.
He did, yeah.
Huh.
It's like the old, the picture of the old guy and the old woman with the pitchfork in front of the house?
Yeah.
Like Southern Gothic. It's kind of like that, only...
Like Cajun Gothic?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Like Deep South?
Yeah, like Southern Goth, but it usually originates in the they call it Swamp Goth. Like, if you look up Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, you'll see an example of what people consider.
Every time you say that, I think Nick Cage.
Yeah, no, it's Nick Cave.
Yeah, but I want to think Nick Cage.
I understand.
Or Nick, my boy Nicholas. Because I know him.
Yeah, see? Those are all older pictures of him, but that's kind of a swamp goth look.
He looks like a old Vegas look, too.
No. Not there. There he is, younger.
The hair is doing something.
See, there he is, younger.
Would you wear your hair like that now?
Like what? Like which one?
That second picture? Top row, second picture. Would you do that?
I would not now, no, but I have a job and responsibilities.
Would you have a tougher time keeping your job or people taking you seriously if that was your hair?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
One is a little more punk rocky, but that second one, the first one you clicked on, that's straight serial killer hair right here, that one.
That one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if I get serial killer out of it.
I do. Serial killers should all be bald also, so you don't leave evidence.
And they should shave their bodies. I agree.
Yeah, you can't have like a flowing mane if you're out there murdering people.
You shouldn't. I mean, it's not good for your
business,
so to speak. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like I'm on the verge of a sneeze.
Well, let her rip, bro.
Well, it's there, but it's not there, you know? A sneeze will, unlike a lot of things, a sneeze will totally derail an entire life. You can't do anything. Like, when there's a sneeze coming, your eyes start watering, you keep a sensitivity to light. I mean, it'll totally stop all of life. If you're driving, if you're whatever, you can't, if a sneeze is happening, everything has to wait.
Well, what you do, as I've learned a trick, is you kind of, like, take, like, the pointy end of your finger, and if you feel like you have to sneeze, just put it on one side of the nostril, like outside the nostril, obviously, and push real hard, and there's a sensitive spot in there, and it'll make you sneeze.
If I hold one side of the nostril, I will, like, bazooka out snot out of the other side.
No, you don't hold it. You don't hold it. You just push. There's, like, a sensitive spot inside your nose that you can actually access without having to go up into one of your nostrils, without making it look like you're jamming your finger up your nose. You could just push on that spot, and it brings the sneeze forth.
What are these folks doing?
They're dancing, bro.
Is that dancing?
It is. And listen, any form of movement like that is usually considered dancing. Maybe it's...
Those are definitely my people when it comes to dance. As in, they shouldn't be doing it.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's
Oh, man, that one's hitting it hard back there with a choker on.
Yeah.
Is that a dude? I think it's a dude. The one guy looks like he has been killed.
That's... yeah. Yep. That's...
There's a lot of JNCOs in that video, too.
Oh, yeah.
And mesh. Fishnet. That dude's got a gas mask on, which I can tell you because I wear one when I mow. They're not comfortable.
That takes me back.
The gas mask?
No, the...
I was like, what happened in your youth? Look at the guy with the bloody collar.
Yeah, that's just the look. That's the look.
I don't know what look. That one girl wore bright green, too, because she didn't get the "we're all wearing black" memo.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could wear the green. It's fine.
You think she's upstaged by the other girl wearing green? Whoa.
I don't know, that one girl's, probably the girl on the skirt is the one that everyone's going for.
That's the one you're going for is what I'm hearing. Get this trash out of my face. Listen, I can't handle this.
You can infer whatever you want to out of that, but.
Hey, search this and send it directly over to me. I haven't forgot about that moment.
It's a goth dance party. I don't think it's a thing. It's not a thing. Goth dance parties aren't a thing.
Would you go to a dance party? A goth dance party?
No.
Before you saw that video, would you have went?
No. They actually, I guess if it's a goth dance party, I guess you would call that a rave in some ways.
That gentleman lost his shirt. He's jerking the other dude around, too. What's happening there?
I don't know.
He's like, "You're about to get run over, bro. You dance over here."
Oh, he's basically just telling that guy to get the F out of here.
That's a techno Viking, Gerald says.
It's a techno Viking.
It's a famous video.
Where's his shield maiden? All Vikings have shield maidens.
He's shredded though, huh?
I think he's just a large dude to start with.
Yeah, but he's in good shape.
He is in good shape. I wouldn't call him Ryan Reynolds shredded. Jacked, but
I don't know. Look at them pecs.
And he's not Ryan Reynolds jacked. He's not Blade Trinity jacked. Mm-mm.
They're walking like on one of those like tram, like
a tram railway.
The road. Yeah. Yeah. That dancing. What about that dance move? I'm doing this video too. He has a fucking kitchen towel hanging off his.
I think that's probably his t-shirt.
I punched the mic. Did you hear that?
I did.
Did that come through?
Yeah.
I was hoping it would.
We got to turn this stuff off, Producer Drell. It's making Ryan mad. He punches mic.
Yeah, it's punching mics out here. He's asking about Punch a Clown. I don't know what that is either.
Me either.
I like clowns.
I don't like clowns, but...
I don't... Here's the thing. When I say I like clowns, I mean I don't have a problem with clowns. I'm very indifferent when it comes to clowns.
Oh, clowns creep me out.
Yeah. I don't like them. I don't celebrate them. I also don't have a problem with them.
That makes sense, I suppose. I mean, that's how most people are. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. They creep me out for some reason.
Does Ronald McDonald creep you out?
All clowns creep me out, yeah.
Is Ronald the most famous clown?
At one point, he probably was. Now, it would probably be either the Joker or possibly Pennywise.
Man, I still... If you took all three of those and showed them to all of the world's population...
Oh, the world's population?
It's got to be Ron.
It's either Ronald McDonald or the Joker. I still say it could be a tie between them. That's what I say.
If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We do this little shindig each and every week. We post it every Monday, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on services around the world. If you want to support us, head over to patreon.com/GameStitch and do so. If you don't want to support us, that's fine. You can slide up in our DMs, you know. Send us some personal stuff over there. It doesn't have to be financial. That was weird. That was like I was soliciting pictures, wasn't it?
It was.
I just wanted feedback.
It sounded a little bit inappropriate. I'll give you that.
I just wanted feedback.
The inference could be that you are a bit of a perv, yeah.
Yeah, you're the one that's like, search a sexy gothic. Unrelated to what we're talking about.
Yes, but I did not solicit pictures from our listeners of those.
I said slide up in our DMs. And in fairness, Gerald would see it before anybody. His hands are more on our Twitter than anybody.
That's fair.
This episode is going to be a little different. This is our Game of the Year, our Swellness Awards for whatever, 2019. I want to say 2020 a lot. It's already happening.
I like the whatever. You're like, whatever.
Yeah. Because I was like, what year is it? Then I remembered. So I played it off. It was smooth until you called me out. Nobody even noticed.
I know, but I can't let that slide. Come on.
Game of the Year for 2020 or 2019. We picked. So for anyone that's listened for a long time, especially at least a year, we do this every year. We really scaled back the categories this year.
We did.
We felt like there was a lot of categories that maybe the same games would end up in. And overall, we felt like it was too bloated.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I learned from watching the video game awards this year is, as cool as they were, there were a lot of those categories that I just wasn't interested in. They probably could have scaled that thing back to about an hour and a half and I'd have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're also one of the outlets. We don't argue about the winner. We both choose one.
Right. That's true.
And so I think that when you do a bunch of categories and everybody gets their game in, it's kind of like it runs a little long in the tooth, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, you don't want to hear me put the same game in four categories because it's just my list.
Mm-hmm.
So we really scaled it back this year. You guys let us know. Maybe we scaled it back too far. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 categories this year.
It also, I think, allows for a little bit more discussion about the games rather than just flying through them.
Yeah. I think so too. So a little different than maybe the years past, but you know, let us know. If you go all the way back to the beginning, our first game of the year, I think, was out of control.
Yeah, we had.
We gave, like, the game award categories out, basically. It was, like, pretty 38 much. Categories.
Yeah, we did.
Across all media. We were ambitious in the beginning. We've scaled it down to 6 now. Next year might be 2. Maybe next year's just game of the year and almost game of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know. So... I'm looking at these categories. I think we'll start. You have the same list in the same order as I do. So I do. We'll skip the first two.
But you want to talk about anything you played this week before we get into it? Did you
play
anything new?
I just played the same stuff. Just the same stuff.
You just played all the same stuff?
Yeah.
I did too, but I do want to give a special shout out this week to Netflix's The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched the first four episodes of that show, and if you're a fan of The Witcher, the books, or the games, if you're not and it interests you, it doesn't matter, go check it out, because it is fucking unreal.
I heard it's really good.
It is good. It makes me want to... I never finished The Witcher 3, and it makes me want to jump back into that game.
I believe it's based off of the books.
It is based off of the books. The games actually take place after the books. Okay. So, but if you've played the games, you'll have an understanding. Some funny thing. One thing to keep in mind is it is one of those shows where you have to pay attention because it plays around with time. Like when things take place. There's essentially three different stories being told, and it plays with when they take place. So you really have to pay attention to know where you're at on the Witcher timeline. Some things take place in the second episode that actually happened before things that happened in the first episode. And it does involve observation. So,
it's not the kind of thing you can put on, clean the house, do the dishes.
No, you'll miss way too much. But
yeah, I've heard good things about it.
It is amazing. Henry Cavill is fucking awesome as Geralt.
Geralt of Riviera, right?
Actually, all the actors really are tremendous. So if you got any interest, if you're interested in the games or the books, definitely check it out. If it just seems interesting, definitely check it out. If you're looking for something to fill Game of Thrones, I would ease up. It's not going to be quite as Games of Thronesy as you might like, but it is going to check some of those boxes. So
less sex and dragons.
There's some sex and there's some monsters, but yeah, less.
Yeah,
definitely. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that because, like, I've been busy all weekend, but I've been waiting for since Friday afternoon now to jump back into The Witcher 3. So
sweet. You gonna try to finish it this weekend? It's like, what, 8 or 9 episodes?
It's 8 episodes. Oh, finish the...
Oh, you said Witcher 3. I was thinking the rest of the show.
Yeah, like, I thought you meant, am I going to try to finish the game? I was like, ha, no.
No, I meant the show.
But, yeah, I'm going to try. I don't know if I'll try to finish the show, but I'll definitely have it done by Christmas.
Which is 4 days for those... For those who forgot the timeline we went over earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
4 days. So shout out to Witcher and Netflix. I know they need our help.
Oh, yeah, they're hurting. Yeah. On their last legs, no doubt.
I actually think Netflix is hurting, if you believe what you read.
Yeah, I mean...
It costs a lot of money to keep all that afloat, apparently. Netflix is also expensive now. It's like $17 or something.
It depends on which one you get. It's like $12.99 if you get the regular one, $13.99. Or no, it's $17.99, I think, if you get it in...
If you do the two screens. Sorry. If you just do one screen, I think it's like 12 something.
Yeah, if you do two screens in 4K, it's $16.
Yeah, because I
you get
think
charged
that's
more for 4K.
I think I paid $17 for it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy! So yeah, it's our game of the year show. We'll go through the categories. What I was saying earlier, I think we'll skip the first two. Then we'll start there. Then we'll finish with, the last one.
Okay.
Just cause I think that's maybe the order they should go in.
All right. Well, we're going to let you, I messed up my order when I made my list, so I don't know what order stuff goes in. So you're going to have to
then. I'll just totally change it all the way around to the order I want. Then I thought you were looking at the list. I'll just make it whatever I want. How about that?
Yeah, do that because my stuff's not in order.
Should I put the announcer voice in again or should we just go without that this time? You don't listen to it, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know. Just,
you know, it's a little more work on the back end, but you know.
I guess it's up to you.
We'll put the voice in.
Yeah, you want to do it?
Yeah, we'll put the voice in. We won't hear it now, but you'll hear it in post, is what they say.
Yeah, in post.
Put it in post.
We'll add it in post.
Yeah, we'll post that in.
And it'll be like best indie.
Yeah. Well, I'll just steal the ones from the Game Awards.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
And then get sued.
And then we can get sued by Jeff Keighley.
Jeff Keighley can shut this shit down finally. 7 years and all these episodes, and it just took Jeff Keighley to shut it down.
Yeah. Well, we're a threat, you know.
Yeah, we are a threat. Triple threat now. We're like a three-headed monster. That dog in Harry Potter. Did it have two heads or three?
The dog? I think it had three. It's a Cerberus, yeah. Right?
Yeah, we're like that.
I think the Cerberus has three heads.
That Cerberus, when you say that, reminds me of Starburst for some reason.
Well, those are different. Cerberus. Those are different.
Starburst. Cerberus. Yeah, it has three heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just like that.
Just like it.
I'm a head on the end, though, because I don't like to be inside on a booth.
Cerberus.
Although the one inside looks to be the one that has the body.
Yes.
So if you're a head on the right or left, it looks like you're just a head.
Cerberus is not to be confused with the Hydra.
Or Sherbert, Starburst.
Or Starburst. Or any of those, because the Hydra, if you cut off the heads, two more grow back. That's not the case with the Cerberus.
I don't know. I can't confirm that.
I can. I just did.
You've cut the head off of one, I know. Look at all those. That stuff creeps me out. First category.
Best independent game.
We'll start there. Yeah, let's start.
Go ahead.
So for me, I thought about this. This is a tough category for me because a lot of the things I play would fall under this probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought about this year, what I enjoyed, what I anticipated, and ultimately I landed on Untitled Goose Game.
Okay.
By House. And, I think this game is now everywhere. I played it on the Switch. That's where it launched. But I do think it's on PS4 and Xbox and all that now. It may even be on Games Pass. I don't remember. But I super loved this game. It's charming. The art is beautiful. It's silly. And if you live on the internet, you know that the goose is taking the meme game over.
Yes. Taking it by storm.
Goose is everywhere. And the honking is everywhere. And the game is, it's rare anymore when you find a game that's doing its own thing. You know, even games that I really love, a lot of them are just copies of other things that I love. And even some of the ones on my list, you'll find out later, are just copies of things that I already love from you know.
Way back when.
A different title or whatever. But Goose Game really feels like it's doing something different. You know, at its core, it is a puzzle game. But what's so great is its simplicity and the way that it all meshes together, and the art and the gameplay and everything like that. So that's my best indie. Shout out to that team and to the Untitled Goose Game. If you haven't played it and you like that kind of experience, I think it's worth playing.
I had thought the Goose Game might be yours.
Yep.
I had thought that. As far as my choice, I played a number of independent games this year, but none of them really stuck in that God, that's so great way. I had such a great time with they were. I played a lot of good ones. I played some bad ones, but nothing really stuck. So I had a hard time with this category. So what I did is I had to kind of step out my box, and my independent game of the year is actually a game I haven't played, but I know people who have, and that game is Farm Together by Milkstone Studios.
Mm-hmm. It's a good game.
And the reason that's my independent game, I know it released on PC and such before, but it released on consoles this year, in February, I believe. I don't know of any other independent game this year that just embodied what my friends were doing and talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You, a few others. Every time I got on, you were playing farm together if you were on alone. Every time we got together in our parties to play something else, you guys would talk about farm together. And what you were doing and how you might go for the platinum and this. And you have to earn money and have to build the fields and you had to buy cows. And I mean this, and you guys would do that. You guys did that for 8 months, 3 nights a week. And that's just you talking about it. You still talk about it and you've both platinum. And I know two of you, or one of you is platinum knit and one is close.
It's by far my most played game of 2019, by far.
Right.
I'm not going to go too hot in the farm together right here. but it definitely changed our dynamic in the way that, you know, what we're playing at night. And,
mm-hmm.
Since it came out, there's probably not a week I haven't played it.
I agree with that 100%. And because of how it kind of dominated you guys' lives for such a long time there, that's why I chose that as my independent game. I didn't have one that resonated for me that way, but I picked up on how this resonated for a number of people. And that's just as important as what resonates with me in my mind, because we're a community. So. And you guys are my friends. So for that reason, Farm Together by Milkstone Studios is my best independent game.
Give honorable mention for What the Golf. Had a tough time not putting that on my list. So best independent, you've got Farm Together. I've got Untitled Goose Game,
mm-hmm.
for those keeping track on paper at home. We did solicit your feedback on Twitter. I had a rough week at work, so I was really delayed sending that out. I think we only have one submission right now. I'll cover that at the end. I'll read through theirs just in case anything else comes in while we're recording.
Okay.
So we've done best independent. We'll jump to best narrative.
Best narrative.
This is the one where I had a tough time with it because I realized I didn't play anything of real substance this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I played a ton,
mm-hmm.
but most people aren't going to Farm Together or Rocket League for the story.
That's fair. You know? That's fair.
Most people aren't grabbing the Untitled Goose Game for the narrative decision-making that happens.
That's very fair, too. I understand that.
So if I made a list of top 10 games that I played this year, probably none of them are narrative-driven. And then some of the ones I played are a little pretentious, and I'm like, I don't know that that's what I want to put my name on, you know? Like, Concrete Genie was fun. I don't know if that's what, you know. I don't know if I need that to be my narrative.
Yeah, the narrative was serviceable. I don't think that the Concrete Genie narrative was amazing, and it wasn't supposed to be. It was,
right.
You know, so I get that.
So ultimately, I landed on a game that it's probably no one, if I gave you 100 guesses, you wouldn't get. that actually doesn't have that much storytelling in it, but I think the storytelling is done through the gameplay. There is dialogue there. But I chose Ghost Giant for PSVR by Zoink Games.
Okay.
It's a story about depression, but it's told through the lens of a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't understand that depression is a thing. And I just think that it's done in a way where it's not over the top. It's done in the way that if a little kid did play it, they wouldn't be disturbed. It's done in the way when, as you play it as an adult, you get what's happening. And, it's just really neat. It's well done. And, it's hard to explain kind of without just going through the whole thing. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And for VR and for as simple as it is, I thought the story was impactful. It's still a game I think about, which is rare for me.
Okay.
There is no replayability with it, though.
Once it's gone, it's done.
Yeah, it's got a neat style and a neat look. And, you know, they take these little puzzles that you perform and they did tie it into a story that I thought was, maybe when I played it, I thought it was a bit much, but as time went on, it's really like kind of stuck with me. It snuck in my brain cavity.
Okay. That can happen.
So that's my best narrative.
Well, my best narrative was actually not hard at all. Best narrative for me goes to The Outer Worlds by Obsidian and published by Private Division. It's important to note that I can say best narrative, but that was just my one playthrough of a narrative. There are a number of different narratives you can take out of this. You get to choose your own adventure. There is an overreaching story, however, and I thought that story was incredibly well done for the game this is trying to be. It tells some very pertinent theme. It has some very pertinent themes and ideas for the world we even live in today, even though it's set in other worlds, outer space,
outer worlds, yeah,
other galaxies, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, is pretty much every aspect of the gameplay is inherent and tied to the narrative. Even something as simple as the fetch quests always tie into the narrative in some way. It's not just go do this to come back to gain XP. It ties into the narrative of the overall story somehow. Whether it's ends up being more major than you thought, or something you thought was going to be major ends up just being something simple and little. On the other side of that, there are choices you can make in this game that are huge for where the story goes. You can actually see that story go different places.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that to be able to make a game like this, you know, a Western RPG, action RPG, where everything that they put into it does play into the overall story somehow, is an amazing accomplishment and can't be overlooked. And I think it actually, in many ways, I think you're going to see this kind of thing happen more, where it's going to actually redefine storytelling and gaming. You are going to see everything you do in a game matter to the overreaching narrative. So for that reason, Outer Worlds by Obsidian is my best narrative of the year.
I knew that would show itself on your list at least once. I felt pretty strongly about that.
Probably a safe bet on your part.
So for those keeping track, best narrative, Ghost Giant and Outer Worlds. Not to be confused with Outer Wilds.
Outer Wilds.
Which is also apparently very good.
Yes.
Two different games, though, folks. Two categories down, four to go. How do you feel so far?
I'm best shape of my life.
We got the trickiest category for me out of the way, which was best narrative.
Best indie was a tough one for me, but I'm not going to lie, most influential was too, which I'm assuming we're probably bringing up next.
Yeah, let's do that one next.
Yeah.
Most influential.
So I want to, before we get into this, I want to say influential can mean a lot of things. Did it change the way games are? Did it change the way society is? Did it change the way you think? Did it change the way someone in your house watched you play thinks? Did it have an impact on you?
Did it have
an impact on the world? Did it tell a story? Did it, whatever.
Right.
I don't think you can nail this down. I don't think you can say that most influential is one thing. And I can also 100% tell you there's no wrong answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. So this is the only game on my list that I have not played would be my most influential.
Okay.
And, as somebody who spends multiple hours a week jumping around the gaming websites, reading news, seeing what's up, you know, just checking out the world in which I like to surround myself with, You could not avoid this game.
Okay.
For good or for bad. So my most influential is Death Stranding.
Okay.
It didn't just make headlines. It controlled the news for the better part of 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It still controls a quarter of the stories even now.
I agree with that.
For all the good or bad that you may think that this game is, you can't deny its impact on gaming. And people will, I mean, just like they've tried to copy Kojima with Metal Gear. Oh, sorry, Kojima Studios. Just like they tried to copy Kojima with Metal Gear, they'll try to copy this idea, the way the walking simulator turned up kind of deal. But no one will be able to, because that's, you know, there's a reason there's only one Kojima.
Yep. Kojima is Kojima.
Yeah. So, but this game was unavoidable to the point where I was like, maybe I should play it. You know, it was so everywhere that it was impossible to avoid. And I'm telling you, if you went to a site, you know, around the launch of this game and the first page had 50 stories on it, like, I shit you not, 48 of them were Death Stranding.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything impact games the way that did. And I also can't tell you the last time I've seen a game that was so loved and hated by people. There was no in-between for this game. No one sort of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
People absolutely fell in love with it or absolutely hated it. And it didn't seem to be a rhyme or reason to who loved it and who hated it either. There were Metal Gear fans that hated it, Metal Gear fans that loved it, people who hated Metal Gear always and never liked anything he ever made that fell in love with it, people who never played it, who fell in love with it, who hated it. It's just a... This game was bigger than just being a game, I think.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good pick for that all the reasons you stated.
Yeah.
Mine is a game I have played, but not on this specific system, which is the reason it's most influential. My most influential game of the year is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt by CD Projekt Red for the Nintendo Switch.
Right.
For many years, people have, you know, Nintendo and kids games and have gone hand in hand. Nintendo, not as powerful as the other consoles, has gone hand in hand. When CD Projekt Red released The Witcher 3 on Wild Hunt, or which released Witcher 3 Wild Hunt on the Nintendo Switch, they single-handedly proved that the Nintendo Switch, while not as powerful, can play with the big boys. That is a long game. That is a dense game. There is a lot of movement. There's a lot that goes on in that game. And the Nintendo Switch, while it may not look as the same graphical capability, it by no means looks bad. And it keeps up with the PS4 and the Xbox on playing that game, regardless of whether you play it tagged to your TV or in handheld. The Witcher 3 is very playable with limited bugs, limited jank, limited lag on the Nintendo Switch. I think this game is most influential because it actually shows that there is power in the Nintendo Switch. And the Nintendo Switch is just as capable a system as the PS4 and the Xbox One.
I almost picked a Switch game for this category.
Did you?
Got super close. Yeah, I almost picked Ring Fit Adventure.
Mm. Mm.
So when you said earlier you were willing to play you wanted to go back to The Witcher, would you think about playing it on Switch?
I already have thought about it. I want to try it. I want to play it on the Switch.
Because after this time, you would need to really start over anyway.
I would need to start over. The problem is I've already purchased it on the PS4. But I do really want to play it on the Switch, because then, and that's the beauty of the Switch. If I'm playing on the PS4, I have to play it in my chair in front of my TV, in my room. If I'm playing it on the Nintendo Switch, I can pick that up in handheld and take it downstairs, or go out in the garage, or go lay in bed. It totally opens up the time I can play that game, and that's a game you need to put time into. So, yeah, I'm a little torn about about possibly buying it for the Nintendo Switch, even though I already own it on the PS4.
Is it a $60?
I can't pay $60 for it. I think I would have to pay $30.
No, is it a $60 game?
Is it a $60 game?
Yeah, $44.99.
I think it's, yeah. It's Drew not.
Got it pulled up.
I think it might be. I feel like it's $60 if you buy it on the Nintendo store, though.
Could be.
If you download,
he's got the
it.
Physical copy he pulled up from Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah, it complete is the complete edition of the game. It's got all the DLC included. For that reason, just showing off what the Nintendo Switch can do and what that system is actually capable of. I know when I saw The Witcher 3 on it, it turned my head around on the Switch, and I was like, wow, I can play. We've talked about it before, Ryan, you and I. I do have a preference towards, you know, quote unquote, big boy games. Maybe a little bit more mature games, maybe a little bit more density to them, that kind of thing. So I was like, whoa. And I've already pulled out, since I saw that it ran it, I've already pulled out my Switch looking for, and went and looked at it to see how much it was and saw if there was anything else cheaper that might be like it. And there are some options out there. So, I think that's by releasing it on the Switch, it really gives the Switch a lot more credibility, at least for me, than maybe I gave it in the beginning, even though I own one.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than a Link machine or a Mario machine. This can do a lot more than I thought it was capable of. I'd have never thought The Witcher 3 would show up on the Switch. You would have never convinced me of that.
Right.
You know, so that's my most influential of 2019.
Gotcha.
I think we both took that in different directions, by the way.
Yeah, I think so. But I think that's the beauty of that category.
And I think that's
fine. So my other one was more in line with where you went, because the Ring Fit shows that somehow exercise games can still be done in 2019 and not be shit.
Yeah.
So I think that those were kind of along the same lines, but just the impact that freaking Death Stranding had. So again, Death Stranding and The Witcher 3.
I almost went with Labo.
Labo's a good one too.
I almost went with Labo too. Just because it shows some of the different things that can be done with the Switch.
Now I'm gonna get a little crazy here.
Oh no.
We're gonna jump now to what we have dubbed as our
semi-chub.
Mm-hmm.
Which is our almost game of the year, the one that got super close, but we just couldn't commit because we hate commitment. And I will just tell you, there are three games that could be considered for my game of the year, my almost game of the year, and not on this list at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a tough time. Every game that are between the semi-chub and our game of the year has been in one spot or the other. I've moved these all around over the week that I've really been trying to put this list together. So for the semi-chub, which is our almost game of the year, I'll revisit an old friend, Farm Together.
Okay.
Milkstone Studios. Again, this is by far my most played game of the year. It'll be Rocket League this year. Some of it's true, some of it's not, because I have some time where I just had to have the system on.
Right.
But it will dominate my numbers as far as that goes. There's something special about this game. It captures that thing that's special about Stardew Valley, the thing that's special about Harvest Moon. This game is not doing anything unique, really. It really feels like a game that was set up for a mobile phone or something like that, where you were stuck waiting for stuff to complete. But there's something so like relaxing for me when I play this game, the same thing that hits for me with Stardew and with Harvest Moon and games like that. Farming Simulator, all those things that I play that are just peaceful, that I couldn't, you know, when I paid $20 for this game, I never imagined I would play it as much as I did.
Right.
And for a game called Farm Together, I actually played most of it totally alone. but I absolutely love it. And, I don't think anyone would have any problem seeing why it was on my list.
Yeah, no, I know why it's on your list for you. Mm-hmm. Mine's a little bit more well known, a little more, I guess you call it basic. You and I have different tastes, so my semi-chubby.
In fairness, me and everyone has different tastes.
My semi-chub of the year is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was a bit of a tussle between this one and my number one, my swellness of the year. But the other one beat it out just a little bit. But I'm a Star Wars fan, and this is a great story. This is a great story that fits into the Star Wars canon. Disney has claimed it is canon. They have stated this is canon. It looks good. It plays good. It takes the Souls formula and maybe allows you to simplify it if you want to. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about this is since I've played it, I played it on like the baby mode. But I get the idea of how that Souls formula works now. So I'm actually considering, I've got some saved in my library that were, you know, free with PS Plus. I'm actually considering maybe playing like Bloodborne or Dark Souls because mm-hmm. I've got an understanding of how those games work now. Before, I'm not a fan of difficulty anywhere. I would love to just coast through everything I do. I don't need the challenge.
I think those games are still going to be tough.
I think they are still going to be tough, but at least I have an understanding of how they work and what I need to know. That initial learning curve that would turn me off is gone. So now I think I can maybe base it a little bit more based on the actual gameplay.
I think a lot about playing Bloodborne.
Yeah, I do too. Especially since I played Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, I think a lot about playing that game, but I don't think I ever will.
So, you know, it had a great story. It took you to some new locations, to some locations you're familiar with if you're a Star Wars fan. I know a lot of games in the past have done, you know, everybody said, oh, this game makes you feel like a Jedi. This game really makes you feel like you can do some amazing things with the Jedi powers. More so than I think any other game that I've played has. So for all those reasons, that's my semi-chub of the year.
Semi-chub of the year.
My second favorite game of the year, I guess.
We could have called it that, the second best favorite game of the year. It's got a ring to it also.
It does roll, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now right we're gonna jump around a little bit because now we'll go to most anticipated for 2020.
Most anticipated.
Okay.
Feel like we should end on the game of the year, you know?
I do too.
Yeah. So we'll go to our most anticipated. Again, semi-chub of the year was Farm Together and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And now we'll go into most anticipated. Most anticipated 2020. I was all over the place on this one too.
Were you? I mean, this one was easy for me.
I've had 10 different games here. But ultimately, I did what was right by me and my family. And I selected Fast and the Furious Crossroads.
Oh, no. Are you fucking kidding me?
By Bandai Namco and Slightly Mad Studios. And let me tell you why.
I need to hear why.
A couple reasons. So, Slightly Mad Studios made Project Cars, probably the most realistic driving that exists. So, I'm very confident the driving of this Fast and Furious game is going to be top-notch. And I'm not sure about the rest of it. But it's about family, which is important. It looks like a Michael Bay game with everything blowing up. And I think it'll be a good, silly, fun time tied into a universe that I love. And I actually think that the driving will be very, very good. And you could pick all the obvious candidates. Those games will be great. They'll be good. Everybody expects them to be good. Ghost of Tsushima will be great. Last of Us 2 will be excellent. All of those. Halo 5 will be incredible. All the shit that comes out for the new systems will be great. But Fast and Furious Crossroads is where I landed. Because I think I have to play that game.
Okay.
Have to.
That's fair for you. I do not have to play that game. I have no interest in that game. I don't like racers. I think it looks like hot garbage.
The people don't look right.
Yeah, the people don't. That's what I mean by hot garbage. I mean the people. I don't mean them.
Yeah.
I'm usually not a big graphics person, but what I can't have is my cars look like they're next gen. And my people in the same game look like they're two gens ago.
I like old gen people.
I can't have that. Not on my list. Not my most anticipated game. Anyone who's been paying attention to me probably knows how excited I am for this game. Cyberpunk 2077. I know it's one of those games that, of course, it's on the most anticipated list. Of course, it's going to be great when it comes out. But that doesn't change the fact that it's the game I am most excited for to come out this year. I love the cyberpunk worlds. CD Projekt Red, it's fucking awesome. They tell great stories. They do great things. They make good games. This is the only game in my head now that I'm like, okay, maybe I need to consider pre-ordering it. Because I know I'm going to buy it. I know I'm going to play it. Why not get the bonuses?
Right.
So, Cyberpunk 2077 is mine. I know it's like a throwaway or whatever, but it is.
It'll be great. There are so many games that'll be great. You know, the game that I'll play the most probably next year is Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
It was super easy for me to pick that. Gerald just had Sports Story up, which is a follow-up from Golf Story, which I think made my list a couple years ago. I have no doubt that there'll be absolutely incredible games that come out. And I think that that'll be one of them. I think 100% that Cyberpunk will be incredible.
I'm just super excited. I'm excited for it.
Yeah,
I am.
That's how I feel about Fast and the Furious. So I get it.
I know it's a big budget game that of course is going to be good. That's had a ton of press, but I'm excited for it. Sorry, people.
So that's Fast and the Furious Crossroads and Cyberpunk 2077 for our most anticipated, which brings us to our last category, the finale, some people call it.
Swellest game of the year.
Our swellest game of the year.
Swellest.
The one that makes our pants a little tight in the nether regions. So we swell up when we hear about it. And maybe the one that I went back and forth on. Like I said, my top three games, I knew that one of them wouldn't make the list at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel right. Still doesn't feel good to me. And maybe the one I picked could have gone under a different category, but my swellest game of the year for 2019 is Beat Saber. By Beat Games.
I thought you might have Beat Saber as your game of the year. Either that or most influential.
Yeah, see, I almost put it there so that I could force in. The other game that's not on my list that should be is Luigi's Mansion 3, which I really consider to be the most well-made game of 2019, but that's not a category. But there's something, if you ever needed a spokesperson for VR... If you needed to prove to people that VR should and is a thing, they should play Beat Saber.
Mm-hmm.
There is something, the way that you felt when you first played Guitar Hero is how you feel when you play Beat Saber. And you can think about the way that changed gaming forever. Obviously without Guitar Hero, we don't have Beat Saber. But there is something so satisfying and so special about Beat Saber, that I didn't feel right. Not having it this high up on my list. I haven't played as much as a lot of people. I've played a fair amount of Beat Saber. I really enjoy Beat Saber. I suck at Beat Saber. And I'm playing on normal or whatever. If I play on anything harder, I look like an idiot. But every I've never played Beat Saber and been like, I wish I didn't play that. I think about Beat Saber way more than I play Beat Saber. And I really think that that game is incredible. And if you have the money, you should buy Beat Saber and Oculus Quest, and you should play that thing untethered. And you should show everybody that game. So I really do think it's incredible. And I love that they're getting into licensed music. Well, mainstream music, I guess I should say, with the Panic at the Disco pack and the Green Day pack and the Imagine Dragons pack and things like that. I think that's really going to help them launch. Yeah, so for all those reasons, Beats Games, Beat Saber is my pick, which is now, I think, Oculus purchased Beat Games. So we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, the game of the year.
All right. My game of the year is pretty much a no-brainer. Anyone who ever listens to me talk about games know that I inexplicably tie how good a game is to its narrative. So for that reason, The Outer Worlds is my game of the year.
I could have almost done your list.
Everything. I could have almost done yours.
Couple curveballs, but I would have bet the farm that was your game of the year. I was surprised when it was on your narrative because I was like, maybe it's not his game of the year.
Yeah. I had to give him both of them because I tie those two so closely together in my experiences.
Yeah.
And when you have a narrative that I feel was as good as the one in Outer Worlds, and then you combine it with some great new gameplay options that we haven't seen before, and you tie it to some choices that actually have some serious consequences in the world. You can miss entire quest lines because of it. Haven't seen that since Alpha Protocol. Shout out to Alpha Protocol. and then you tie it into, even with the twists and turns of the story, it still tells an incredible, amazing story that, again, is incredibly timely. And then you tie that all together with a little bit of Firefly, a little bit of Fallout, a little bit of Mass Effect. If anybody who played this and knows me was like, oh, he's not going to like this game, then you don't really know me.
Right.
You knew that this was going to rank high in everything I did. And it did. It's my game of the year because of everything that it does so well, ties it all together. You've got the flaw perks, so to speak. I can't remember what they're technically called, but your class decisions are reality based. This game does so much good, that just works so well for me. And then ties together and combines a number of things that I absolutely adore to tell a phenomenal story. This was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, I felt like that was going to be up there for you. You really love that game.
I do really love that game. I want to play that game again.
Yeah, you really love that game all the way through. So, I think that's it. Solid pick.
Yeah, a lot of times you play a game and you're like, there's a slow part or there's something that didn't sit right or this minor little problem with it. I had none of that. Man, that game was fun to just play to the end. So, I've still got it. I didn't move it to my library. I've still got it. I do want to play it again. Kind of waiting for a new game plus to come out for it, but I'm not even sure that's going to be necessary. So I might just jump. I might jump into that. I got to jump into The Witcher 3 first, so. But yeah, that's my game of the year. I recommend everybody play it.
So that's Beat Saber and The Outer Worlds for our game of the year.
Yeah, I could have made your list and come real close too.
Yeah. Well, you'd be doing better than me then because I fucking struggle with my own list. Somehow I think making your list would have been easier than me making my list. Because I really, it's not fair that Luigi's Mansion's not on my list, but I just didn't have a spot for it. I could have put Beat Saber on Most Influential, but I don't know that it influences anything because it's inherently taking from something else, but the game is special.
Right.
You know, I could leave Farm Together all the way off because it's not a blockbuster. It's not amazing. It just copied the formula from a bunch of other games. But how do you spend 700 hours with something and not put it on your list, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And but I mean, again, it was on my list and I didn't even play it.
Right. But again, Luigi's Mansion, if you took both of our lists and combined them, Luigi's Mansion 3 is the most well-made game on any list.
I would say so. Yeah, the game is.
You may not like it. You could hate Luigi's Mansion, but you can't argue with how well-made it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a masterclass in how to make video games. And I was sad that I couldn't find a spot for it. But, I mean, that's what happens when you have six categories, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You had to trim the fat.
Yeah, so if we had a seventh category that was, you know, Family Game of the Year. Yeah. We might give it that.
I mean, really, if I could have put it anywhere else, I probably would have. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to force it into a category that I didn't feel like it belonged in. But
right,
it does deserve a shout out.
Yeah, and so I would say Beat Saber could have been your most influential, because I think it provides an excellent entry point into VR for just people with no interest in VR.
And this is going to sound bad, but I didn't think that was a high enough praise for it. I mean, they're all good, I guess. They're fake awards, so
right,
it's whatever. But that didn't seem impactful enough to me to stick it down there.
Oh, I think it is. I think it's impactful enough.
Beat Saber is not that it doesn't warrant that. I think that it warrants more than that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Like, I think to stick it down there, I think is also an injustice. Really, if any of these should be a lesser game, it's Farm Together. But it's like the only thing I've played all year besides Rocket League. So.
Oh yeah, I
had to be up there.
I had to have it on my list, and I didn't even play it because I knew that you and a few other of our friends were just balls deep in that game, and we'd get out and play Rocket League. And you guys be talking about it, I'd be like, "What in the fuck?"
Yep, played it last night.
What are you talking about? I don't care about your fucking corn.
It's pretty good, though. Yeah, check it out. Gerald's going to get it?
But it's stuck in me, so...
Producer Gerald says he's thinking about scooping up Farm Together.
Wow.
Even after all this time, I'll still play it with you. And friend of the show, Marshall 205, is hot and heavy in it right now. Like, hot and heavy. Holiday event going right now.
Here's
how much I appreciated what that game is. I did platinum it, and I've still been playing it because they still do the events. And like a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago at this point, I bought DLC because I wanted to give the developer more money. Like, I'm finished with the game. It's adding stuff in that I don't really need, but I bought DLC just because I felt like I wanted to give them more money.
Yeah, I just don't think it's for me. I just don't think it's a game I would like.
Oh, you'll hate it.
I don't think it's my kind of game. So.
No, you would 100% hate it.
But I know that you guys love it and talk about it constantly for the last 9 months. So I had to have it on my list for that reason alone.
The game's neat. The game's also sort of racist if you look at its DLC packs. But either way, I enjoyed that game a lot.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's our list. Like I said, I put a tweet out. I put it out late. Gerald, I think, has since retweeted it out, so it's out there. Just because you didn't get them in now, if you want to send us your list for on-air consumption, we can probably work it in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not next week. Next week's a little different. If you want to send it to us privately, and it's not for everyone's eyes, for your eyes only. Remember those notes when you were a kid?
I do.
For your eyes only. You would draw eyes on the outside of it, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
But if you just want to send it to us privately, that's cool. If you want to slide up in our DMs and send us your list, whatever have you. I do want to briefly go through the only list we have. I think everybody on the show knows Matt, who was on the first 100 and some odd episodes of the show, been around since the beginning. He did send in his list, so I'm going to go over it now. We'll start with his best indie game. He went Untitled Goose Game. Best narrative, Death Stranding. He did not send in an influential. His semi-chub of the year, Resident Evil 2, which I think will probably land on a lot of people's list.
Mm-hmm.
Most anticipated Ghost of Tsushima, and his game of the year, his swellest game of the year, Death Stranding. So
I probably could have made his list too.
Yeah, I thought that too when I read it. I was like, I probably could have. It's funny, the people you play with a lot, you're like, I probably could have made all these lists.
Yeah.
Somehow easier to make other people's lists than your own list. Because I feel some sort of weird obligation for some of these games to be on a list. Yeah. Except Gerald's list, because he told us earlier he doesn't think he's played anything that came out in 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, so his would be tough.
His would be hard. Yeah, his would be based off of everyone else.
Gerald would love Farm Together. That's a game that easily could make his list if he played it. Because he loves the grind.
Yeah,
there's one thing you need to know about producer Gerald. He loves to grind. He's a grinder, some people say. So that's it. It's a little stress off. So the next thing we're doing to me is even more stressful.
My list is done because I confused. I thought we were flip-flopping them. I thought yeah, we were doing the one we're doing next week, this week. So I stressed all week on that one.
Yeah, I'm super stressed about the next one we're doing. And I will say, this list, if I did this list next week, it would mostly be the same, right? It would probably be very similar. This other one we're doing, if I did it a day later, would probably be entirely separate games.
It could completely change. Yep.
Yeah. I'm really struggling with this other one. I've had probably 30 games on there and I've narrowed it down. I've taken stuff off. I've added it back.
Yep.
I don't know what I'm doing. So, that's going to be next week's show. It's going to be a little different. I think producer Gerald's going to be on it live on Air Talent. So we'll have three comprehensive lists for you guys.
Oh yeah.
I don't think we're going to ask you to send those in just because I think the show is going to run long anyways.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, when it comes to tweeting, we're not going to ask anybody to do that kind of time because
we're not good at it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, we're not good at tweeting also.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. Swellness Awards 2019.
In the books. Mark it down. If you won, congrats.
Yeah.
Nothing in the mail or no trophy or printout or anything. So,
nope. Early on, I
used to email the winners.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Tell them that we selected them for whatever.
Did you ever get anything back?
No. And then I also realized it was weird to tell people they won our semi-chub of the year. So, you know, we do things a little different around here.
Yeah.
You know, we're not your mainstream. We're not your granddaddies.
If you were a winner and you were proud to win one of our awards, please let us know.
Yeah. We're not your granddaddy's podcast, you know?
We are not.
You know, not your papa's podcast.
Papa.
We do. I always wish I had called my dad Papa.
Not to be confused with Popeye, which Popeyes. I prefer over Papa.
I'll tell you what you don't want quickly is a pot pie, because if you cook that sucker in the oven, it takes like 2 days at 375 to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can microwave them, but, I mean, what are we doing? We're a fucking savage.
Yeah, they're not good when you microwave them.
Yeah. So, that's going to do it for us. That's going to do it for our game of the year for whatever year it is again. 2019, Swellness Awards 2019.
Swellness Awards 2019.
We have one more. Is it one more episode in the year, or is there two more?
I believe it's just one.
I think we're down to one more. Let me look at the calendar.
It's just one. Okay, I promise. Yeah.
So we're down to one more episode for the whole year. This one, again, we told you we're going to do something a little special. It's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably, if you use your Batman detective skills, can figure out what it is. But that'll be next week, and then we'll be back to normal shows in 2020. And we'll do another year of this thing, you know?
And it's all good, folks.
Yeah. That'll do, pig. It's from
nope.
Babe, if you
took it somewhere else.
You don't know Babe, Pig in the City?
I know Babe, yeah.
Babe 2, Pig in the City.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to cover any news. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to let the folks just let that news simmer. I am going to buy that. And now everybody can wonder what I'm going to buy. I bet Dan's not going to buy it.
Dan's not going to buy it.
And now you can wonder what he's talking about. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Good night.
Good night.